Ongoing classes focus on the basic ideas of metaphysical truth, as well as on the rare combination of wealth and spirituality. Other individual classes, such as Creating Sacred Space and Walk This Way, are also offered. If you would like more information about the church and other activities, call the office at 372-1942 or visit our website at pacificcoastchurch.net. At Pacific Coast Church, you will be given the opportunity to see and to experience yourself and your life in a positive new light.
Dr. Gary Richman has for the past 15 years worked with adults, adolescents, and couples. In this time, he's developed strategies that he has taught his patients and colleagues to utilize in working with these groups. Dr. Richman enjoys working with adults, transcending their egos for the inner self, parents and teenagers struggling to negotiate a peaceful home life, and with couples who need to relate to each other from clarity and not from the baggage of their past.
This is Dr. Richman. If you fall into one of these categories and desire change, please call me at 626-9164. That's 626-9164. And welcome back to Heart and Soul. This is Dr. Gary Richman. I am without my co-host this week, Dr. Bill Little. He is on vacation this week and next. And today I thought I'd kind of segue a little from the traditional viewpoints of Heart and Soul, which conclude or combine spirituality and psychology, and just go on kind of a psychological topic today that is really important. And for anyone who has children, you either know of or have an ADD son or child, and it is something that one wants to know about and deal with because it is so difficult. Again, ADD is attention deficit disorder, and I ended with the issue of the fact that I often give parents permission to understand that they do not have to like their ADD child. ADD children are very hard to like because they are, especially as they get into preteen and teens, they are argumentative, they are spontaneous, they are impulsive, they are combative, they want to win an argument, everything is an argument, they are extremely verbal, they have difficulty studying, do poorly in school, have all kinds of control issues that stem from a baseline of inferiority and a sense of not being able to compete with others. They are very difficult in terms of dealing and remembering things because of the attention deficit disorder aspect of the illness. It is, again, a physiological issue, something they cannot control. It is something that they are born with, and they have kind of a different kind of wiring organically, and is nothing they can do other than attend to it. So what does that mean for the parent? For most families with attention deficit disorders, they wish that they could board their son somewhere and not have to deal with them. Parents are continually exasperated. They are angry. They are worn out. They are tired. They are people who have had enough with all of the craziness, wondering why it just doesn't stop or abate. And the reality is because it doesn't. It is a deficiency that is not something the child can get over during their adolescence, and between adolescence and all the chemistry changes and peer changes and environment changes, it is extremely hard for most teens, as we know, to negotiate the walk between 12 and 19, but it is even more difficult for the ADD child. So what can we do about it? Well, there are a number of things. One is the issue that since it is a physiological issue, it is not inappropriate to do a trial of medication. Now, I'm not going to get into the debate on medication. There are many people who are anti-medication, don't want children taking medication. The typical medications of choice are Ritalin and Dexedrine, and people are very opposed to these. The fact that you know that attention deficit disorder is a physiological disorder is the fact that if most of us took Ritalin or Dexedrine, which are aspects of speed, we would be maxed out on a hyperdrive. What it does for attention deficit disorder children is allow them to quiet down and balance focus and be able to discipline themselves a little better because the impulsivity and the distractibility is mitigated. So we know from that very fact that their chemistry is different. And that alone should tell us something. Now, I'm not someone who's a proponent of and being really liberal with medications. I'm very conservative recommending patients to psychiatrists to go get an evaluation for medication. But it is something that is warranted with ADD for at least a trial because many attention deficit disorder children do respond to some degree with low doses of either Ritalin or Dexedrine. Now, one of the problems with medication for ADD is that parents go to the person they think would be appropriate to do that, which is your pediatrician. Pediatricians know a great deal about children and childhood diseases. Attention deficit disorder is a specialty, and like any specialty, you need to go to people who understand that. Hopefully, the person who understands that, or hopefully the person that might be in your community to go see, would be a pediatric psychiatrist. The reason for that is this person went to medical school, did a special residency in pediatrics and psychiatry so that they understand the ways in which the chemistry of the attention deficit disorder child works with the medications. All physicians have specialties. You don't go to a cardiologist for a foot problem. You do not go to an internist for a neurology or something of surgery in the brain. You go to people who have specialties in medicine. Internists are very good at diagnosing a number of different issues. But again, this is a specialty issue, and people who have special training with adolescents specifically and ADD issues, whether being a pediatric physician or a psychiatrist or someone, as I said, who specialized in both, would be your best bet. Most children are given medication for ADD from those who are not specifically trained in attention deficit disorder. That is not a good thing. It's just like you should not send an ADD child to a therapist who doesn't have at least a specialty in adolescence and hopefully a specialty in also attention deficit disorder. Because to do that, you're in the ballpark of looking for help, but you're not going to hit a home run. And the issue is we want to deal with the most trained and experienced people within this because ADD for any professional is tough. Better you should have someone who at least knows the terrain that you're talking about. So again, medications can be helpful. You want to do a trial of medication to see how your son is dealing with the medication and get constant feedback and go back and see the psychiatrist or the pediatric specialist with ADD to attend to that. The next thing you want to do with regard to ADD is, in my experience, when you have a situation where both parents are in the home, and even when parents are divorced and have separate homes, there's usually one parent more than the other, and it doesn't have to be the husband or the wife, it's not gender-oriented, who gets into more control battles with the attention deficit disorder child than not. Let me explain that control and control issues and the debates and the battles that come up for control issues for the ADD child are like the old Godzilla movies when they'd walk into the electricity lines and feed off the electricity. ADD children are so angry and feel so inferior, and they're so bright and so verbally adept that they appreciate the battle. They appreciate the control, and they want to win it, which means no one is going to win it, and everyone will be exasperated. I often encourage parents to find out, and they often know this in a heartbeat, so it's not a big deal to figure out, which of the parents gets caught up more in the control battles with the ADD child and which does not. The parent that gets caught up least in the control battles is the one I encourage to do more of the disciplining and also more of the sitting down and talking to the ADD child about their discipline problems or the issues and control battles that come up. This is something that will allow the ADD child, because they are also very bright and verbally adept, to talk to and attend to you about it so that you can do something with regard to what's going on in the household about the distractibility, the anger, and the impulsivity and the control issues. To keep fighting the control battle, you might as well take your head and keep banging it in the wall because it's going to do about as much good. The next thing that has to go on within the household of attention deficit disorder, children, is ongoing, consistent, firm behavioral contracts and limit setting. Most children need limits, and most children and adolescents need consequences for their behavior as a way of learning how the world works and what it is they can and cannot do, and learning how to attend to that as they move on to adulthood. It is imperative with the ADD child because, again, they are so impulsive and retain, unfortunately, so little that they will get caught up in hyperverbal kinds of chatter about anything and impulsively stay with it and ruminate about it until you're tearing your hair out. And so you have to be good at setting limits, and you have to have very firm contracts with the attention deficit disorder child with regard to just about everything. With normal teenagers, you have certain consequences and limit setting with regard to the basics: schoolwork, curfew, certain amount of chores. With the ADD child, you have to be much more specific in terms of the many interactions that you have. Because if you don't set those kind of contracts, life will be terrible. Life is difficult enough with the ADD child. And let me stress again, ADD children are extremely difficult. No one would volunteer to have an ADD child. It is difficult, it is exasperating, it is painful, it is mind-boggling, it is frustrating, and it is something that you wish you could get a vacation.